Well, there are things that concern us about other people. And there are things that other people are concerned with about us. And there is a thing that Jesus is concerned with about us. And it's probably something you've maybe never, ever considered. Jesus is concerned about your face. Are you concerned about your face? Jesus is concerned about your face. Has to do with the tie-in of the scriptures today from the gospel reading and also the New Testament lesson. In the gospel lesson for today, there's this young man. He's successful. Things are going well for him. And he wakes up one morning and things seem to be going quite well. You could probably even see it in his face. His face reflected confidence. Man has a very sincere conversation with Jesus. And he's very sincere. But it didn't go the way he thought it would. You could see it in his face. And as the conversation ended, it says the man left, and it says he had a fallen face. It says his face fell. Fallen face. Have you ever had fallen face? I've had fallen face. I've had fallen face numerous times. You feel confident about something that about yourself or something that you would like to do or planning on doing, and then someone, in a sense, puts you in your place. They don't like your plan, or they give you the truth about it, or they give you a reality check. And all of a sudden, as you think about it, it shows on your face. All of these things cause the same thing. It's called fallen face. You take the gospel lesson and the New Testament lesson for today, and they both, in a sense, say, all right, let's kind of stop for a minute, and let's take a look at your life. Let's look at your life and where things may be heading. Jesus came with a purpose, and it comes out there in the gospel, in the New Testament reading for today. Jesus comes with the purpose is to bring people to rest. He wants them to experience rest. But the rest he wants them to know and experience ultimately is redemptive rest, a true rest, which asks the questions to us, you know, is that our goal? So in the section of Hebrews, in the New Testament lesson for today, there's the question, am I faithful in my faith? And numerous times, not just here in the third chapter of Hebrews, but throughout, that word today is mentioned and used. And there's a lesson in that for us. And they are told, see to it or take care. It's like a warning that says, beware. Beware of what? And he says, the hardening of your heart. I like the way one person kind of poetically put it about the hardening of our hearts. He says, hearts harden gradually like the freezing of a pond on a frosty night. At first, there is a thin film of ice, so slender that a pin or needle would fall through. At length, it will sustain a pebble. And if winter still holds its unbroken sway, a child, a man, a crowd, a cart will follow. Just give it some time. See, the danger depicted here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 is a constant thing throughout the letter. And it's a concern about kind of a spiritual drift away from God, a danger of departing from God. It was real, and it was happening. And the writer knew it and experienced, and he knew these people, and they were once a part of it, and they seem like they're drifting away. In different ways that it can happen. He talks about, referring to it as people who turn away from God. the phrase fallen away, to deliberately keep on sinning, to shrink back, put in different ways, but all talking ultimately about the same thing. People who were once kind of following or embracing or acknowledging it, but now have drifted, they've gone. St. Augustine said, God has promised forgiveness to your repentance, but he has not promised tomorrow for your procrastination. The writer's concerned. The writer's concerned because he knows where God's heart's at. He knows that God is concerned. And so he says, in a sense, listen and listen now. And he emphasized the need to listen to the word. And that kind of is where the theme's at. And it has to do with hearing or listening. Because there's different ways that you can hear or listen to things. So how do you listen to things when your mind's already made up? Today, there are some perfect examples about the way people choose to listen to things, right? All you need to do is say two words in whatever order you want to put them. Say something about vaccines or say something about masks, and everyone's going to listen the way they want to listen, right? We know how we listen personally when we hear those two words mentioned. And it may cause us to want to listen more or not at all. But the way in which we maybe engage with those two words today, hey, I guess the question is, can we do the same thing spiritually in the way we listen? Because we choose to listen to things the way we want to listen to them, right? You can listen with a hardened heart. You just don't listen because your mind's made up. Or you can listen with an apathetic heart where you just really don't listen because you really don't care. It doesn't mean anything. Or you can listen with a willingness, with a listening or hearing by faith. A willingness to do it. There's an attitude of humility. There are those people who listen. In a sense, they want to. They're open. They're willing to hear, to learn. There's something humble, and they want to hear God's word. On the other hand, hearing God's word is maybe just the opposite effect. They hear it. I mean, technically speaking, they hear it, but they don't listen. Because their hearts are hard, their minds are made up, and they just don't want it. And you can listen, and there's different things in between. So what we need to do is listen. Listen today and believe. Listen today. Pay careful attention. Because he says kind of in different ways throughout the whole book, he says we got to beware that we don't develop a hardened heart towards God and who he is and what he wants. And so he says we got to learn from the unbelief of ancient Israel. God brought an entire generation out of slavery with the idea of bringing them to a promised land. He rescued them, he protected them, he provided for them. He saw their way with them through the desert and the wilderness. They saw miracles, they heard God speak, they saw all sorts of things happen. And ultimately it was to bring them to a land of rest and peace. But they didn't enter. They didn't get the rest that they all, in a sense, were told they were going to get. And why? Was it God's fault? Wasn't God's fault? They heard God's word. They did. Why didn't they enter? They failed to trust God and obey him. So two terms come up again. Unbelief and disobedience. Unbelief is just this failure to trust. Trust this. I'm not going to hold on to this. And disobedience I'm not going to do that. Two separate ideas, but they're linked. Faith and obedience. But behind all disobedience is unbelief. We have a different way of seeing things. We have a different way we want it to play out. Any account of the Israelites during the Exodus reveals the fact that they were not able to enter, it says, because of their unbelief. Which leads us to believe that the writer of Hebrews is trying to say, all right, we today need to look at this lesson. We need to deal with this and say, hey, this is something that we have to deal with. It's not just something that happened for them a long time ago. Because is it possible for us who have received, in a sense, the message to still reject God? Is it possible for our hearts to grow cold with unbelief? Is it possible that the same thing could happen to us that happened to them? See, when our faith in God is strongest and most alive, we find it easier to recognize temptation when it comes our way, or understand what's going on, to understand spiritual things as they play out. But when we fail to keep our faith strong and well-nourished, then we're more prone to, in a sense, lapse or to wander or have other things happen because we're not spiritually sensitive. It's easier to wander. It's easier to drift. You see, there's a conclusion the writer would want us all to arrive at. I guess I need to take this seriously. When those Spirit-given opportunities come my way to listen to His Word, to pay attention, to incorporate His Word into my life, to listen, to pay attention, to grab a hold of, I need to do it. And then he also says something else really, really important. It's not just here, he'll say it again. We need to look out for one another. It's not just about us, but we have to consider the other people around us as well. Why? Because sin is deceitful. It's very deceiving. Here's the context of the people that the writer of Hebrews is writing to. This is the people he's addressing. These, for the most part, these were Jewish people. These are Jewish people who had embraced the faith and became followers of Jesus. They saw and recognized now that Jesus was the promised Messiah that had come. And they put their hope and trust in Him. But here's the situation of the day. It was really difficult to be a follower of Jesus, to acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior, to believe in the resurrection. Persecution was coming in. It was a really difficult time. And a lot of people who had once been, in a sense, in one tradition, now embraced the Christian faith and saw all this stuff happening. They said, you know what? I just can't do this. And because of the difficulty and the tension of what they were dealing with, it was easier for them to say, you know what? I just can't do this. And they went back to the way it was. Or they said, you know what, why do I have to live in this? I would rather live just, you know, in a sense, go and live a life of pleasure. I want to have it easy. And that was one of the main reasons why so many of them were just kind of drifting away or falling away. They didn't like to live in that tension. They wanted it easier. They didn't see the deceit in that and what they may be now missing out on. And so like the person that Jesus spoke to, it says, with a fallen face, the man went away sad that day. It's really one of the saddest stories in Scripture. Because he thought with all sincerity, you know, his behavior and accomplishments could carry him through. He really thought when he went to Jesus that day that he was going to be affirmed and where things were at. And in the dialogue that he had with Jesus, he only heard one thing when Jesus said, "Give it all away." He missed the second part. "Come follow me." Because Jesus was offering him a real treasure, real wealth. He wanted to lead him to what ultimately could be the greatest thing he could ever know and experience. He was being offered forgiveness. He was being offered salvation. He was being offered something of incredible value. So that's why this New Testament lesson for today brings this theme to us and confronts us with this warning about how deceiving certain things can be. Because one of the saddest things in the world is to see, in a sense, a noble start where someone kind of says, "Well, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to follow Jesus," and then have it lost before the end arrives. Referencing back to how it played out with the Israelites. They heard, they saw, they experienced, but they rebelled also. They came out of bondage in Egypt, but so many of them just fell dead there in the wilderness. And it's like, just kind of let your mind contemplate the whole tragedy of the whole situation. Because the doors of God's rest are closed to those who just kind of don't heed the warning and understand the importance of that word today. So he repeats that word to stress the urgency today, today, of how important it is to remain firm in our faith, continue on as that disciple, that follower of Jesus. Because when God's call to faith confronts us today, there's always a sense of urgency in it. And every generation must respond to Christ's call for itself. Because we're accountable. And we've all heard it. And if we put off today, it will be more difficult tomorrow. You can't put repentance and faith in layaway. Because refusing to respond or trying to delay our response just over time, in a sense, has a hardening effect. And that doesn't mean outright rebellion. It just means just drift away. So today is always a time for each of us to kind of respond decisively, saying, "All right, new day, Jesus. I just want to be your follower again today. Help me to keep my eyes on you and just help me to be faithful to you today." Next day rolls around. "God, thank you for the gift of this new day. I just want to be a follower of yours today. Help me to just walk in your ways today." Every day, in a sense, is a today to listen, to respond, so he can strengthen us. Go back to that gospel lesson. There's something just huge about those words. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Talk about beautiful words. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Because he wanted so much for him to see beyond the deceit of wealth to what he really could receive and possess. And what we do is never as important as what God does. Because Jesus sees us and he loves us and offers us the greatest thing. So with open hands and arms, we just kind of embrace and receive the gift that God offers us. So listen today and believe. And it will sink into your heart and it'll be seen on your face. It's because of what God can do. There is hope, real hope, and it can change your face. It really, truly can. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly